This month's episode is brought to you by DreamHost.
On a program this month, Elizabeth and Sketch discuss prop making techniques. Elizabeth also shares tips for preparing food in your hotel room. Shiva explains the difference between masquerade and cosplay. And in the news, internal conflict at Anime Expo again. I'm Patrick, and you're watching the AnimeCons.com podcast for February 2010.
Leading off our news stories this month is the staffing turnover at Anime Expo. Anime News Network reports that 4 out of the 7 Anime Expo's division heads have resigned due to disputes with the SPJA Board of Directors and organization's new CEO, Michael Lattanzio. While the convention will still take place, this will undoubtedly have some effect on the event. This isn't the first time internal conflicts have shaken up Anime Expo. The convention was founded when AnimeCons 91 split up to form Anime Expo and Anime America. Out in Hawaii, Kauai Con has announced that director and mechanical designer Shinji Aramaki, as well as voice actor Daisuke Kishio, will be attending. The convention has also announced guests Johnny Young Bosch, Vic Mignogna, Wendy Powell, Samantha Inoue Hart, Bob and Emily DeJesus, and David Williams. Troy Baker, Vic Mignogna, The Tsunami, and Soul Candy have been added to the guest list at SakuraCon 2010 in Seattle, Washington. In the Midwest, NakaCon 2010 has announced its final guests, Shion Francois and Yumi Kawaguchi of Cure Media USA, Tommy Yoon, Kojokan Shibutai, and Kansas State University Yoshikoi Dance Group, P-Lander Z, and voice actor Eric Vail. Anime Zap, an anime convention announced less than 72 hours before the convention began, brought in 160 anime fans on the weekend of January 16th and 17th. The convention was quickly put together by the staff of QC Anime Zing after the announcement that nearby PokitoCon had been canceled. In the South, San Japan has announced its first round of guests for the July 2010 convention. The announcement includes Carrie Savage, Chris Ayers, Josh Greel, Maha, Lily Hulix, and Amelie Belcher. Middle Tennessee Anime Convention, MTAC, in Nashville, Tennessee, has announced guests Neil Kaplan, Doug Smith, Jan Scott Frazier, Sonia Strait, Lisa Furukawa, Steve Yoon, and Tommy Yoon. Anime Matsuri has announced their first round of guests consisting of Crispin Freeman, Leah Clark, Ruben Langdon, Mike McFarlane, Strong Machine 2, DJ Heavy Grinder, Francesca Dani, Yuki Fei, Elizabeth Licata, India Davis, and Matt Messier. In the Northeast, Kinecon has announced its first round of guests, voice actors Carlos Farrow and Daniel Kevin Harrison, as well as webcomic curators Brian Kliminger, Tim Buckley, Mookie, Anathan Hawk from Apple Geeks, and Scott Ramasamar. And finally, Anime Boston has announced returning guests Tom Wayland and friends of the show, Greg and Christopher Ayers. The convention will be held at the Heinz Convention Center from April 2nd through the 4th. For more information about these and all conventions, please visit AnimeCons.com.
Last month, we told you about weapon and prop rules for conventions and what you can bring and what you cannot bring. Here with me to explain how you can make your own con-friendly weapons is a resident prop expert and host, Sketch. So what we're going to talk about is the different types of materials you can use to safely make props for conventions. And the first thing we're going to talk about is insulation foam.
Basically, it's just dense foam that you is made for insulation of houses, but what's great about it is that it's very easily carved. You can use a knife or stuff like that. Main places to get it is Home Depot and Lowe's. Lowe's has blue, Home Depot has pink, and nothing different between them, just the color. So if you have a pink issue, go to Lowe's. But what's great is that, you know, it's very light. You can build larger things with it, and it's, you know, again, light, can take a hit, and security likes it because you really can't do any damage to anybody else. So.
Now, one thing you see in convention rules a lot is no wood in weapons. Can you still make things out of wood?
Yes, usually what they're referring to with the wooden weapons is that you can get, samurai mock combat swords, which are made from very, very, you know, hard wood, which, you know, it's like having a wooden baton or something like that. You can hit somebody with it, and that's what they're afraid of. But you can make stuff out of wood, and I actually suggest it as your main material, because wood can do a lot of good things if you spend time with it and you really work. Prime example I have.
Damn.
This is a scythe I made in 2005. Try to fit it in. This is all plywood. All plywood, just carved and layered on top of each other, and then sanded and airbrushed, painted, whatever. But you can get very realistic props, and what's also great is that you can pass through security pretty well.
Okay, now for things like rods and staffs, is PVC pipe a good option?
Why, yes it is. Again, it's nothing hard. This is PVC right here that was engraved at where you see the blue. What's great, again, light, you really can't do much damage to somebody else with it, which is basically what security is worried about, is people being foolish with their weapons. It's okay to pose with it, but doing mock combat, you're going to get kicked out of a con.
That purple one.
What's also great is that PVC, if you have any side of, you know, rod item, it's a great base to add on, such as this flute here.
And it's really cheap.
Yes. I think for just 3 feet, it's about like $1.75. So that's always
so
good to have.
A lot of props have details to them. I made this flute for Zenji from Dynasty Warriors 4. What kind of materials can you use to create something like this?
Well, one is paper clay. What's great, it dries on its own, and you can, mold it, and sculpt it with your hands and sand it down a little bit. It's great for larger areas that you need more structure support for it, or you're afraid that you're going to knock it around a bit more. There's also, very cheaply, is Crayola's Model Magic. This is really great if you want to, certain headpieces or stuff like that, because it's light. It has a bit of a give and stuff like that, so it can be flexible, which is great. But if you want to do finer detail, check out the Sculpey line. This is polymer clay. You bake it, and in certain instances, which I'll probably do a special later on, you can, if it's thin enough, you can actually use a heat gun to set it. But what's great is that this holds finer detail a lot better than Model Magic or the paper clay. Mm-hmm. I have a dry headband that is all that, and it works perfectly.
Now, what kind of materials can you use for things like armor?
Armor? There are actually tutorials out there if you Google. This right here looks like a white sheet of paper, probably, but it's not. It's actually called craft foam. It's
2 millimeters thick.
Thank you. Basically, it's nice. It's foam. What's great about it is that if you take some time with it, with certain glues to stiffen it in certain areas and stuff like that, and if you paint it, you can actually make rather realistic armor. I felt like doing this to be funny, but this is actually one of our staffs, Fran, from Final Fantasy XII helmet, Shiva. But all this part right here, all this intricate work right there, is just craft foam. Made a little bit stiffer with some glue, layered in certain areas. But what's great is that you can get intricate stuff like this done very well, and in photos, it looks great. It almost looks like you actually hammered armor on. But again, you know, certain detail and techniques all can be found online.
And what about Wonderflex?
Well, this is going to be the part where I'm going to go off my own tangent. I personally don't like Wonderflex, but it is a good beginner's material for getting curved, one-way curved shapes. Dome shapes are very hard with Wonderflex, so I don't recommend for that. But if you want to, you know, if you have like a gauntlet or anything like that, you can do Wonderflex, but it's porous in a way. It has little, you know, bumps and ridges. That's how it gets flexible. So you need to go a little bit further and try to fill those in with something else.
Now, cardboard is really cheap. You can find it for free mm-hmm. in a lot of places. Are there any ways to use that and make it look good?
There are many different ways of using cardboard. But again, what makes cardboard props seem a little bit more wow to people is if you actually how you finish it. So, another great way, this is a very old Alphonse helmet that our webmaster here, Patrick Delahunty, made. And it's all cardboard layers and everything like that, and works out really well. He was very successful at a con with this. We couldn't walk more than 5 feet without being pitchers. Again, it's the same principle like what you do with craft foam. You know, you cut your shapes and you bend them in the one curve. Drawbacks is that, again, you only can do one curve. So you might have to become a little more creative. Might be a little more creative with that, which takes more time and experience.
Do we have any closing thoughts about prop making?
Prop making? I'm always a stickler, anyone's ever been to my panel, is scale. Only thing I say is, you know, double check your scale. You know, you look at your references, you see how tall that character is, you figure out how tall you are, and then figure out the proportion of their weapon to them. It makes your presence with your prop a little bit more realistic. It won't be like, wow, that's a really, really big sword on a 5-foot cosplayer, you know. It all depends, but that's usually what I say, is try to figure out your scale before beginning any of these props. On top of that is basically try to work with what you think you're most comfortable with. I always say experiment a bunch of times before you get to a final one, because you can combine all of these into one prop. Again, it's just figuring out, you know, which puzzle piece goes where.
Okay, great. In the upcoming months of the podcast and in podcast extras and on the website, we'll be creating some tutorials on how to use all these various types of materials we showed you today. So I'm at AAC in Nashua, just called another anime convention, and in the area there are a lot of places to eat, except none of them are in walking distance, which is fine, except I have a lot of things going on with costumes and the masquerade, so I don't have much of a chance to run out to get something to eat if I want to. So I brought a whole bunch of food to keep me nourished this weekend, hopefully run out to get one really good meal a day, but I just don't have the time. So if this is your situation at a con, these are some things you can bring to help you get through the weekend and eat well, because that's really important, unless, you know, you want to pass out or something. That's bad. So, I like to, you know, bring things like juice. If you drink soda, bring soda. And also bring water. I like to bring something like a Nalgene bottle, and you can just fill it up in the con if they have water. All cons will have water, either in pitchers or in bubblers. I mean, water fountains. I'm sure you don't know what a bubbler is. Fruit is good. Fruit that won't spoil. Apples. Oranges, bananas also will work well, pears, grapefruits. If you have something like grapefruit, you probably want to bring a knife with you. Applesauce, if you bring it in the individual containers, that way you don't have to worry about refrigerating it after you open it. So I have bread, peanut butter, and jelly. It's good, stable, lots of protein. I like to have tuna fish. It's a little more expensive than the actual cans, but you don't need a can opener, and it comes with things to make it, you know, tuna salad, so you don't have to worry about mayonnaise or anything like that. Meal bars are good for breakfast, or it's simple do-over in between meals. And then general snack things, like pretzels, Goldfish, granola bars, more granola bars, and granola, peanuts. So you want to look for things that, you know, things like peanuts have, you know, protein in them, and granola, things that are good for you. You don't want things with a lot of sugar, because that can, you know, you can crash later. You don't want to rely on the hotel having a microwave and a fridge. Not many hotels have them. I'd say like one convention I go to a year, if that, has a microwave and a fridge. The hotel, when you reserve the hotel room, it'll tell you if it has a microwave or a fridge. You can request the fridge. They have them for medical needs for people, but it costs money usually. So you don't want to rely on that. It does open up your options quite a bit. You can, you know, bring soup or Easy Mac and then keep things from spoiling, things like milk, and then you can have cereal. So if you have a microwave and a fridge, it definitely opens up your options. You can't bring things like rice cookers or hot pots or hot water heaters into a room. It's a fire hazard, kind of like how you can't have them in a dorm room. So one thing your hotel room does come with, usually, is a coffee maker. And basically, this is a hot water heater. So you can use it to make things like ramen or what I'm having for breakfast, which is oatmeal. So if you pour the water in, measure out a cup with the coffee cups that are provided, and turn it on. All right, now the water's hot. Pour it to that line. You want to bring plastic silverware with you. Plastic utensils, not silverware. Okay, and then it says, yep, that's it, done, I have breakfast now. This, my orange. Now I'm all set to go enjoy the con for the day.
Before we get to our Q&A, we want to thank our sponsor, DreamHost. If you want your own website, you should really sign up with DreamHost. Not only will you get great website hosting, but you'll get unlimited bandwidth, storage space, and email accounts. You'll get one-click installs for applications such as WordPress, PHPBB, ZenFoto, MediaWiki, calendars, and polls. You'll get a free lifetime domain registration, and a lot more, all for as low as $8.95 a month. Now enter code MANGA1 when you sign up and get $10 off your order. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Learn more at dreamhost.com.
This month's question comes from Casey, who writes, I have been browsing convention websites and I noticed that many of them will say masquerade/cosplay instead of cosplay and have separate guidelines. I have been to a few smaller conventions and this year I was hoping to go to some larger ones, and I was just wondering, what is the difference between masquerade and cosplay? I don't want to get into a convention, sign up for the wrong thing, and get laughed off the stage. Well, Casey, that's actually a really good question. One of the biggest differences between masquerade and cosplay really is how the con itself defines it. I'm not going to be able to explain to you what one of them is, and it's going to be the same every convention you're going to go to. So the best thing to do is actually look at those guidelines that you saw on the website and try to find out how that convention itself determines what is masquerade, what is cosplay, and what the contest actually involves. In general, if they're talking about a masquerade, they're usually talking about a performance of some kind or a skit that you would dress up in your costumes and actually do on stage at a show that they would do one of the nights of the convention. Usually people do something, a comedy skit, or they'll dance or sing or play an instrument or whatever they want to do. But it's not usually simply just walking on stage in your costume. Some competitions will have kind of a fashion show or a hall contest, in which case, in that, you don't have to have any kind of a performance ready. You just need to show off your costume to some judges, and then maybe during the show later that day, you would walk across the stage or do some poses so that you could show off your work, but you wouldn't be expected to do a performance. The best thing to do trying to figure out which one of those you're signing up for is to actually email the cosplay coordinator for that particular convention and find out exactly what you'd be signing up for and what they call it. In general, there's also just cosplaying, which would be just dressing up and walking around the halls at the convention. Usually you don't need to sign up for anything. People just show up in their costumes. Some conventions will have a very casual hall cosplay contest, in which case you also don't sign up. You'll just be wandering around the hallways. And if a staff member sees something that they like, they might hand you a ribbon or hand you a certificate or give you some kind of prize that you can turn in somewhere else for, you know, maybe a better seat somewhere or free DVD, whatever the convention is running. So that's also one of the options. And then there's also usually cosplay events that people sign up for, things like cosplay chess or dating games, things where people are chosen in advance of the convention to do some kind of improv performance, that or some things that are planned out ahead of time that is actually part of the convention and not actually a contest. You're not competing against other people, you're just participating in a show. So those are pretty much the main different events that happen in costume at a convention. Each con will explain to you what you want to do, and you can decide from there what you'd like to participate in. Either way, you probably aren't going to get laughed at no matter what. People are really confused. So if you have any convention-related questions for the AnimeCons.com podcast crew, you can send them to us at podcast@animecons.com.
Congratulations to Ruth Harris, the winner of our January contest, who won free admission to A&G Ohio this March. Last month, we expanded our set with this new backdrop here, made up of program guides, flyers, and newsletters from various conventions over the last 10 years. Now, we've decided to hold a contest to see who can correctly identify the most conventions featured on the wall. You get 1 point for every correct convention and year, but you lose a point for any incorrect guesses. So the person with the most points will win a DVD of Shuffle autographed by voice actor Todd Haberkorn. So we'll have a full picture of the background up on the website. You don't have to say specifically which one is which, you just have to list them all. But the person who has the most points will win, and send your entries to contest@animecons.com. Finally, remember to become a fan on Facebook at facebook.com/AnimeConsPodcast. You can follow AnimeCons.com's Twitter feed at twitter.com/AnimeCons. And in iTunes, you can subscribe to both this podcast and AnimeCons.com Extras. The Extras feed has full guest interviews and other goodies that don't fit in this regular podcast. If you like it, please give us a rating. 5 stars is very much appreciated. And don't forget that you can talk about AnimeCons on our forums at forums.animecons.com.
My panic doesn't show next time, we'll know why.
Am I still...
As well as voice actor. The convention has also announced guests Johnny Young Bosch, Vic Mignogna, Bob and Emily DeJesus, DeJesus. San Japan has announced its first round of guests for the July 2010 convention. And the screen goes, and I'm gonna sit here and just go like this.
Oh, look, the light!
Yeah, see? That's the light! Can you see?
I was just to start.
I think it's D for duck.
I'll do it.
TBD, to be done by Patrick D. That's hot water too.
Okay, am I stupid or does our shower not work? What? Because no water comes out.
I don't know what to say because she changed it all.
It's there now.
Okay.
I've been in a lot of podcasts, okay?